If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Now, we all know that supporting big problem behaviors in the classroom is challenging, and we know that using proactive preventative strategies is going to be the right path. But on the other hand, what do we do when problem behaviors happen? What do we do when aggression, meltdowns, tantrums happen in our classrooms, in our therapy sessions, in our home? We need a plan in place for de-escalation. That is exactly what my newest mini course, De-escalation 101, is going to give you. It is going to give you a step-by-step plan on how to safely and appropriately support a child through a big behavior and in a way that doesn't ruin student-adult relationships. I love that this is a mini course. The runtime is a little over an hour, so you can get back to supporting your kids. I know you don't have hours and hours to sit in professional development. This course is designed for any gen ed, special ed teacher, clinician, administrator, parent that is supporting students with big behaviors. The toolkit that goes along with it, you guys, oh my gosh, it's one of my favorite toolkits I've ever created. We accept school POs and have group discounts for schools because we want your entire school community taking this course, because every adult that supports students should have these strategies in their toolbox. Click the link in show notes to learn more. This is only available for a limited time, and I want you to learn all of these essential de-escalation strategies.
Hi, I'm Sasha Long, special ed teacher and board certified behavior analyst. Welcome to the Autism Helper Podcast. I'm here to explore different strategies to improve the lives of individuals with autism.
Welcome back to the Autism Helper Podcast. Today, I want to do an episode on multiply controlled behaviors, or really just most behaviors. Let me give some context to that. So I got a question a few weeks ago to training about basically multiply controlled behaviors and, hey, we're trying to get the function for this behavior and we think we have it, and then it's something else and it's something else and it's something else. And I totally knew exactly what this educator was talking about, that there isn't always one clear function. Things aren't just for attention or just for escape or just for a sensory component. And when we're looking and approaching behavior in that way, it can make it very hard to create a behavior plan and figure out what the replacement behavior is. I always think back to Dr. Greg Hanley when he references his omnibus reinforcer. And he's referring here to a multiply controlled behavior, that it's not always just one thing for a child. And really, for any of us, a lot of our own behaviors serve multiple functions. So in this episode, I want you to have an open mind and think about behaviors beyond a single function and think about the influence of multiple variables on one behavior. Because behaviors can be influenced by a lot. They can be influenced by multiple antecedents, multiple things happening before that behavior. That child might be hungry, but they've also been given work they want to do, and they also saw someone else playing on an iPad. Those are multiple antecedents that are affecting the choice that child makes. There's also a lot of different consequences after a behavior. There's research that shows that when we do traditional ABC data, we can overgeneralize an attention function because there's typically attention after most responses, whether it's redirection, whether it's bringing to a break area, and whether it ultimately could be more of an escape influence, there's still attention as part of that overall consequence. I think when we view behavior through this lens, it gives us a more holistic view of the response and gives us more creativity and flexibility to figure out a better replacement. And that's really the goal here, is figuring out a replacement behavior for a response that a child has that is maladaptive. So thinking about these multiply controlled behaviors, I want you to think through behaviors you see on a day-to-day basis. One that always comes to mind to me when I think about multiply controlled behaviors is work refusal and work avoidance. Escape behaviors are two-tiered, always. We are always escaping from something and we are always escaping to somewhere. You have to address both components. Learning that really, really changed the way I approached escape behaviors because every behavior plan needs both. What are we escaping from? And that's where our preventative, proactive strategies go. And then what are we escaping to? That's to me where our replacement behavior goes. I want to get access to something when I'm escaping, but I'm also escaping from something I don't want to do. Escape behaviors typically happen with unpreferred tasks. I escape putting away my laundry. I escape eating a salad. Guys, I don't escape from watching Bravo, and I don't escape from eating a cheeseburger because I like doing those things. And when we escape, we go to do something more preferred. Instead of doing my laundry, I scroll on Instagram. Instead of ordering a salad, I order cheese fries. So we're escaping from something we don't really like or want to do to something we'd like to do instead. Example I always give at trainings is think about if you were to play hooky, which, you know what, more power to you. Take that mental health day. You deserve it. You play hooky. We do this on a work day. If it's on a Saturday or Sunday, it's not playing hooky, right? We do this on a work day and we do something fun, chill, relaxing that day. You don't stay home from work to stare at a wall. You stay home from work and you meet your college best friend for lunch who's in from out of town. You stay home from work and go see a midday movie, lay on your couch and binge a show. You're doing a preferred activity. So even in the singular function of escape, it's really multi-tiered. There's multiple influences going on with escape. With many students in your classroom, I bet you see a combo of escape and sensory behaviors. We are escaping a conversation, a setting, a person, a demand to go engage in a behavior that meets some sensory need I have. I would like to go to the break area and rip pieces of paper. I would like to escape this conversation to perseverate on a topic I like talking about. I want to escape this setting because it's too bright. I'm trying to avoid these bright noises and lights, and I want to go somewhere where I don't get that input. We often get that. We also see very often a combination of attention and tangibles because guess what? Toys are more fun with someone else, right? I want you to watch me play with my cars. I want you to play Barbies with me. I want you to do Play-Doh together. So we see that combination a lot. So start thinking through your behaviors and think about the multiple influences. I have been getting Factor meals delivered for probably a few years now, and when I first discovered these, they were really a game changer. They are fresh meals that get delivered right to my house, pop them in the microwave, and 2 minutes later, I have a healthy, protein-packed lunch all ready to go. I'm like, where were these when I was in the classroom? I like how there's so many different options, so I never get bored, and that I'm eating healthy without having to do a whole ton of cooking. If you are looking to eat healthier, to do takeout less, or to just have something taken off of your plate mentally, having your lunches or dinners set up ready to go, I highly suggest checking out Factor. It's what I have tried, and I really think you would love it too. Head over to factormeals.com/Sasha50off and use code Sasha50off to get 50% off your first Factor box. If you're ready to try this, this is such a great deal. Get 50% off your first Factor box plus free breakfast for a year. Love that. Make healthy easier with Factor. If you've been stuck on a 6-month wait list for a psychiatrist or bouncing between online mental health sites trying to find the right medication support, Talkiatry was built for you. It's a virtual psychiatric practice that actually fits your life and your insurance. Talkiatry is a 100% online psychiatric practice that provides comprehensive evaluations, diagnoses, and ongoing medication management. Unlike therapy-only sites, Talkiatry is psychiatry. That means that you'll be seeing a medical provider who can diagnose mental health conditions and prescribe medication when appropriate. All of their over 600 clinicians are in network with major insurers, so you can use your existing insurance instead of paying monthly out-of-pocket subscriptions or those out-of-network fees. Head to talkiatry.com/Sasha and complete the short assessment to get matched with an in-network psychiatrist in just a few minutes. That's talkiatry.com/Sasha to get matched in minutes. When we create a behavior plan or do an FBA, even the formatting of it does pigeonhole you into selecting a more singular function. And it puts a lot of pressure to get it right. Is it attention? Is it escape? And when we do this, it kind of then starts to push our interventions in a certain trajectory. So we've picked escape, this is your line of strategies. We've picked attention, here's your line of strategies. And what happens then is we have inconsistent results with the interventions that we choose because it's not addressing the whole behavior. And the snowball effect of that is pretty large. When our interventions don't work, if you are, let's say, the behavior consultant, suddenly your teachers are like, she doesn't know what she's doing. Your staff is like, I'm not going to use any part of this behavior plan because it's not helping. And not only has the problem behavior persisted, but maybe it's even been reinforced and gotten worse. Okay, so what can we do instead? When we are doing an FBA, we still need that process. Be flexible and be open-minded. Look at the multiple antecedents at play. I always advocate for a checkbox or a check-off style ABC data, and I think that does give you that flexibility to see, hey, there was a work demand, and there was a setting change, and there was a loud noise. We see multiple things at play there. Think about things that have changed in the setting. Think about the expectations the child is facing. Was it an expectation to transition between centers, to engage in a social interaction with a peer? And then consider their communication needs, their current skill set. Because where we see that disconnect between the antecedent or the expectation and their skills is where often we see problem behavior coming. I don't have the skills yet to meet that demand or that expectation. Our goal is not getting to the one right answer. It's getting to this selection of antecedents and consequences that can help us identify all the variables at play. When we have all of this information in the FBA, we are then able to design a behavior intervention plan that addresses multiple needs. We're going to look for adjusting the environment. These are our proactive interventions to prevent the response. And then our skill building, our replacement behaviors, to work on eliminating the need for the negative response, because the positive pro-social communicative response is getting to that. The phrase I always give in trainings is we've got to starve and replace it. And you got to do both. You got to starve the negative behavior. So we've got to make it not work as well, add in environmental supports. And then we got to replace it. We got to teach that missing skills. And when we have the whole vision of the behavior with the multiple variables at play, we'll be able to do that in a much better and more effective way. So what are some action tips for you right away? Because you're like, all right, well, next time I do a behavior plan, I'm going to get into that. But what can we do right now? I want you to start switching your thinking instead of what's the function to what's influencing this behavior. I mean, as a BCBA, we're just kind of trained to think always, what's the function? What's the function? I mean, I do this with my own kids. What's the function? Instead, that subtle shift of what's influencing the behavior allows us to consider multiple variables. When your teams are frustrated with this process, whether it's you are an administrator and these are your teachers, or you are a teacher and this is your paraprofessional team, and this is hard. We're going to get frustrated at things that are hard. acknowledge and validate that that's okay. It's okay that this process is tricky and complex because behavior is tricky and complex. Man, especially for our older kids. Those of you working with junior high school students and adults, these behaviors have very long learning histories, which means they are more likely to be utilized for multiple functions. Because guess what? Hey, if it works to get me that I want, this is probably going to work to get me this that I want as well. So I think when we normalize the challenge of long-term problem behavior or even a newer problem behavior that is complex, it kind of releases the pressure a little bit of like, okay, we're not going to get it this week. That's okay. And this is part of the process, is identifying the multiple variables. So think about those things that you can do right away. Switch your thinking from what's the function to what's influencing the behavior, and validate and acknowledge with your teams the complexity of this process. I'm going to head over to Instagram and do a little post about this on Instagram as well, because then we can engage and chat about it. But I'd love to hear what you think. What is your perspective on approaching behavior this way, through this lens of multiple variables and multiple control? Do you see this as a challenge with the students and the clients you support, identifying that singular function? So come over to Instagram and chat with me there. And in the meantime, start making those shifts with you and your team to deliver the most effective interventions possible.
Thanks for listening to the Autism Helper podcast. If you liked what you heard and want to hear more, hit subscribe. It would mean a lot to me if you left some feedback. Whether I'm working one-on-one with a student, doing a podcast like this one, or presenting for a PD, my goal is always to provide as much value as I can. So your feedback really helps me make sure I'm doing just that. If you have other topics you'd like me to cover, leave in the feedback or message me on social media. You can follow me at The Autism Helper on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest, or visit my website, theautismhelper.com. Thanks again for listening.
Having the right resources for your classroom is essential to making sure your classroom is running smoothly. At the Autism Helper Shop, we have all of the resources you need to make sure you have the behavior, communication, and curriculum supports for your students. Within our shop, we have adapted books, task cards, resources aligned to the VBMAP and the ABLES, behavior plan flowcharts, data sheets, curriculum. Everything you need, whether you are an early childhood teacher or a high school teacher, we have all of the resources that will meet those students' needs. So head over to shop.theautismhelper.com to check out all of our resources.